course, there, Leah's been a blessing to us playing and singing. Won't you open your Bibles to the book of John, Gospel. Sometimes we call it the Gospel of John. It's the Gospel of Jesus, of course. As we go to John chapter 9. I don't know if I was going to give a title for the tape room up there. I'd say, I'll preach a little bit on what do you know? You know, that used to be kind of a saying. We'd say something about, well, what do you know today? Or what do you know, Joe? Or something like that. Anybody ever remember that? Did you grow up in America like I did? All right, the kind of stuff like that you'd hear sometime. John chapter 9. You know, it is important what you know more than what you think you know. And there's a big difference between the two sometime, no doubt about it. But in John chapter 9, we have the Lord Jesus Christ and his personal ministry here. He went about doing good and healing and so forth. And in this case, chapter 9, Jesus passes by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Fake news has always been around, folks. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I don't want to get off into it prophetically, but Jesus speaks of a time in our history that's nighttime. And in a sense, that's still what we're in today, because we are on sin-cursed earth, no doubt about it. But we have the story here going on a little further, and I'm going to tell you about it more than read it because of time. There was a crowd saw this happen, but they didn't want to believe it. You know, there's a big crowd today don't want to believe, no matter what they see. What they see, they still got to explain it away when it comes to God. Have you noticed that? Well, that's where this Pharisee crowd was here. That was a religious crowd, too. But they go on down, and because he healed on the Sabbath day, they're accusing Jesus. And finally, it comes down to the place they call his parents and say, was this the same boy? Was he born blind that now he sees? And we don't accept this. We don't believe that could be him. And they were afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue. So they said, well, he's of age. Ask him. And so then we move on down to about verse 23 in this same ninth chapter. And the parents said, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now see, he said, all the rest of that theoretical stuff you're saying, oh no. But I know one thing, I was blind, and now I see. I'll tell you what, knowledge, I've said it before, is bought and sold in our day and time. Knowledge is still important, and it needs to be tested by the Bible. See if it's true knowledge. I think about the traveling salesman went down the country, and he saw a farmhouse, but the gate was locked, and so he saw a young man plowing a mule over in the field. So he stopped and leaned on the fence. He said, son, said, is your dad home? He said, no. He said, how you know he's not home? He said, because the gate's locked. He's gone to town. He said, well, how about your mother? Is she home? He said, no, she's not home either. He said, well, how you would know that? He said, because if mother was home, I'd see smoke coming out of the chimney. She'd already by this hour be fixing dinner. Folks, that's noon meal. I got on a Sunday school about that this morning. Dinner is noon, supper is night. Have you ever heard of the last dinner in the Bible? Right? Get your Bible right, amen? Anyway, the boy said, no, if mom was home, smoke would be coming out of the chimney. Salesman started to leave, and then he turned back and leaned on the fence, and he said, son, there's not much between you and a fool, is there? Boy said, no, sir, just the fence. Just the fence. Sometimes folks think they know something when they don't, and when somebody else knows something, they doubt it. Amen? Here is the story, And this blind man said, I don't know about all you're saying now. You're accusing Jesus. I know one thing. I was blind. Now I see. And I want to just talk a little to you this morning on some things I know. Some things I know. Not some things I hope are true, but some things I know are true. Not some things I've heard, but some things I know. There is a big difference. A big difference there. And I looked in the prophetical part of the Bible. Daniel chapter 12 talks about our age. He says it'll be a day when many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge increase is probably the computer thing that stores up air. I mean, look what an age we have come to today. Folks are addicted to their phones and their Google this and that. And I'm still in the caveman back there. I'm still writing on the wall back there somewhere. But the truth is the matter, I can't hardly keep up with it today. And I want to say to some of you folks, it's pure impolite. If you're going to come ask me something, leave your phone in your pocket until you get your answer back. It's disrespectful. What'd you say? No, I want your attention. Just don't bother me. Amen? Amen, Mickey. Anyway, we look around today. It's a crazy day. There's no doubt about it. We look around and see some really, I can't believe America is dumb enough to sell out our freedom to socialism. And even the Liberal Party got scared, I think. Looked like socialists were about to take over. Maybe even they're going to fight it a little bit. But we live in a crazy day, no doubt about it. We've traded in the blood-bought red religion for green religion today. When it comes to the environment and comes to all that, I'm okay. Be wise about that sort of thing, but don't worship this earth. This earth is going to pass away. It's going to be changed, and thank God it's going to be renewed without a curse. A lot of folks are scared of the coronavirus. I'm not against you washing your hands, but I'm not going to quit shaking hands in church. I'm not going to let the devil bluff me out with something that's become a political football to use today. More people got struck by lightning last year in the United States and so far has died with the coronavirus. So don't let the panic become your enemy. Amen. All right. Somebody got skeptical. Look, what was it? 20,000 killed last year with the regular flu? That's the one you better watch out for. All right. Go back to your sermon, Mickey. I'm glad there's some things I can know. I mean, really know. I mean, know for sure. I want to say this. I can know that I have God's word. I'm holding it in my hand. God said he would give scripture. All scripture was given by inspiration of God. And listen, if he inspired it, it would be no good if he couldn't preserve it and have you to have it, because you're going to answer for it one day before him. And I'm glad I know I have the word of God. I'm glad I know it's from God. It's inspired. In the old days, there was no doubt about that. I have a dictionary in my office. It's the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. That's the best one. I mean, it's not modernized yet. It's still got King James spelling in it. Amen? And in that 1828 dictionary, here's what he says about the Bible. He said, the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit, so there is no doubt about its supernatural origin. In other words, this is a supernatural book. God inspired it. That's even what the good old dictionary says. Amen? And so if you say, well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's true. I don't know why. Well, just see what God says about it. He's got an opinion. He made it all. He's got all power, and he preserved his word, and we have a copy of it. There's no doubt about that we do. I look over in John chapter 6, back to my left here just a little bit, and I pick it up in verse 63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, not the paragraphs, not the books, but the words, every bit of it. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Isn't that what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And so I don't like people messing with the Bible. I don't want one word changed. It's okay. God's been using it for 400 years, saving souls and having revivals. Listen, I'm using the Bible God picked. That's the one he's used, the old King James Bible. Amen? And so I know I have the word of God. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know that. And I'll tell you something else. I'm glad I can say I know I'm saved. It's how you know you're saved, because the Bible tells me so. Say, that's pretty shallow. Yeah, it's pretty deep for some folks. Truth is, little kids sing it in Sunday school. This I know. How you know? Because the Bible tells me so. And it does. And it does. I know I'm saved. The Bible says over here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may guess that you have eternal life. No. That you may know that you have eternal life. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him as Savior? Have you seen him as your sin bearer on the cross of Calvary? Have you let him be your substitute that took the wrath of God that belongs on you, and he took it on himself and paid a price you couldn't pay? I want to tell you, I got good news for you. You can know you're saved. Not wait and find out. The folks that want to wait and find out always have doubt in their heart. And the reason they have doubt is they think it depends on how good they've been. And they suspect they haven't been too good. And they aren't. Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Truth of the matter is, you'll get peace when you start trusting him 100%. Not 90, but 100. He paid it all, the song says. All to him I owe, every bit. Sin in the past, sin in the present, sin in the future. All that don't allow me to sin, God still whips me if I get outside of his will. He chastens me, but thank God he paid the price that's going to get me into heaven. By grace. Not by my goodness, but his. Amen. I know I'm saved. I know it because I can trust what he has done, not what I've done. Now, there's evidences in my life that I've been saved. I was preaching a funeral yesterday of a man. We were talking about what a difference from the time he got saved, the old life to the new life. And that should be a story with all of us. Maybe not as obvious as some, but pretty obvious to those that know us the best. Well, I think it was old Sam Jones, the great old evangelist, said when an old sinner gets saved, even his old hound dog ought to know it. Even the cow he milks every morning, that was the old days. Even the old cow ought to know. And the truth is, when an old sinner got saved, the whole neighborhood in the old days used to talk about it. Used to know about it. Nowadays, we got so much walking the aisle and joining the churches, but didn't get in Jesus. Might have got in the church. Now, listen, you don't have to do that. You don't have to fake it, but there's a whole lot of folks fake it, and they're going to find out they were faking it. And the truth is, they probably know it already in their heart. One of the evidences you know you're saved, you love the brethren. That's what the Bible says. Bible says we know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Let me be honest with you. When I went into church, I didn't love the brethren. I went in as a lost boy, my sleeves rolled up, sat on the back row and criticized everything I saw. I said, just churches for women and sissies, not for real men like me. And some of you got that in your heart right now. I've had one little bit of edge, I guess you'd say, a little bit of advantage as a preacher. I still remember what I was before I got saved. I was not raised in Sunday school. And I worked some rough jobs and run with some rough crowds. So when I come into church, I came in as a critic. I remember seeing the song leader. Brother Parson, I said, look at that guy showing off in front of the women up there. Where's Brother Bert? There he is. All right. I criticized everything. I said, if that big lady in the back of the choir don't quit shaking, that pew's going to break. I was mean. I saw the offering plates pass. I put in a quarter and watched it all the way down the aisle, see what they done with it. I'm being a little bit facetious, but I was in church because a girl told me that's the only place I'll go with me. And so I wanted to go with her, and so I went and sat in church, and I saw her do the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. She put $5 in the offering plate. Oh, I thought, wow, you can go to the movies for that and have money left for popcorn. I remember saying to her, I was driving my race cars at that time, and I had a little money in my pocket most of the time if I didn't wreck that week, and I said to her, if you got to put that in every week, I'll put it in for you. She said, you don't understand. I have to put it in. See, that was her tithe and offering. And yeah, it was a long time ago. Worked at the bank, made about $50 a week. And she had to put that $5 in. I couldn't put it in for her. I didn't understand that. See, I was lost. I didn't understand it. So I criticized everything. But oh, I want to tell you something. When Jesus got in my heart, those brethren I criticized, I fell in love with. I fell in love with that song leader. He was a great man. He helped me grow in the Lord a lot. And I remember when I was standing down front and people were coming by, shaking my hands, saying, "We were praying for you. We wanted you to get saved, and we're so glad you got saved." And I thought, "I wasn't praying for you. I was criticizing you." What a difference, though. A flip took place. It just flip-flopped, and all of a sudden, the people I was criticizing became the best people in the world. And that's what'll happen. I want to tell you something. You ought to check on your salvation if you don't like God's people. You don't understand what I'm saying? The scripture says we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, you don't love the brethren if you criticize the brethren. If you gossip about the brethren, you don't love them. You're just kidding yourself. One lady said she was going to trade in her vacuum cleaner for a telephone because she could pick up more dirt that way. That's not loving the brethren. Understand? Nowadays, it wouldn't be the telephone. It'd be, you know, all the social media business you got. Anyway, thank God I know I'm saved. I can tell some evidences in my life that changed. I fell in love with the brethren. Then I had a witness that moved inside I didn't have before. The Bible says that his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Have you ever met somebody, didn't know them very long, but you kind of, your spirits kind of met? You know, sometimes when you get saved and your family's not saved, there's a wall that builds up there. And there's a coldness that moves in, and you don't understand, and they don't understand your new way of doing things. You ever had that? I had that experience, sure. But somebody that's saved, your spirit can bear witness with their spirit. It makes a difference. And what I noticed, I thought all those songs, I went to church and heard them sing about Calvary. I thought that the army was coming. Didn't know nothing about Calvary and the cross and none of that business. But you know, when I got saved and began to come to church, the Spirit of God began to move in, and I began to enjoy those songs and understand those songs and get the message out of those songs. I didn't get that before. If you've been born again, you're born again by the Spirit of God. He lives on the inside, and he gives a witness to the Word of God. He gives a witness to the Word of God in the songs. He gives a witness into the friendship and the fellowship that can come because you are yoked together with other believers. And it's a real thing. The Spirit witness with inside. And the best way I know I'm saved, though, is not just because I love the brother, not just because the Spirit of God witnesses to a good hymn or a good sermon, but because I know Jesus paid it all. Isaiah 53, we've all like sheep gone astray, but we've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God. He laid my sin on Jesus, and Jesus suffered in my place and paid for my hell I could not pay for as he hung on the cross of Calvary. Oh, he became my substitute, that he could become my Savior, and that I could say, I know I'm saved because I'm trusting what he did to pay for my soul to go to heaven. Amen. I'm glad I can tell you this morning, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And then, you know, I'm glad to tell you, I know he answers prayer. That's one of the privileges we have after we've been saved. He's our Father. Did you ever go to your Father and ask for something and you got it because he loves you? Well, your Heavenly Father loves you. Loves you enough he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, the Bible tells us if he spared not his own Son, but freely gave him, giving it up for us, how much more with him will he give us all things? In other words, if he's already given us his best, why wouldn't we think he would give us less than his best? Sure he will. Sure he will. Old preacher said he had a dream that he died and went to heaven, and they were showing him around, and that he was going down and looking in some of the various rooms, and the angel was explaining to him what this is and what that is. And said he opened a door, and in that room was the most beautiful gifts and precious things you'd ever seen. And he said to the angel, "What is this? What are they stored in here for?" And the angel said, "Because God's people down there never asked for them." Well, now that was just a preacher's dream. But the truth is, God has given us the best when he gave us his son. And we can expect him to keep giving because he loved us enough to give his son. Well, he gives us the privilege to ask. He gives us the privilege of prayer. Folks, it's natural to pray. I know I've heard some of the atheists say that, "Oh no, they pray. You put the pressure on them, they pray. Let the doctor come in and shake his head and say it's terminal, they'll pray. Let them get in the foxhole, they'll pray. They'll pray." We all prayed before we ever knew how to pray, really. Before we ever really had any praying ground with God. We didn't know the Lord Jesus. I prayed, sure I did. I remember one time I got wrecked on the racetrack. It was a long race, and I had led much of the race, and it just looked like a sure thing until I got down to about the last two laps. And then one of my partners, driving on the same team I was, had a flat tire or something. He got behind. He was driving a little bit foolishly, and he wrecked in front of me, and his radiator burst, and the water just went over the track. And I was lapping him, and as I come by, I saw what was happening. I knew there's no way to get through that. When you hit that water, no way to get through that. Sure enough, I hit it, and I spun around and spun around. Finally went out into the infield. And as far as that, my race was over. Two laps to go. Couldn't win it then. I remember crawling out of that car on the grass in the infield. Oh, I was so tired and so hurt that got that close. I didn't know God, really. I mean, as a kid, I prayed, "Lay me down to sleep." I prayed, "Lord, bless this food." But nobody really gave me the gospel. But I crawled out of that old race car on the grass. And I don't know how many was in the stand, quite a crowd. They didn't know what I was doing, I guess. But as I crawled out on the grass, I started praying. I said, "Lord, I just can't take no much more of this." And she said, "Oh boy," I was just whining and griping. And we'll put the pressure on us. People will pray. They'll pray. What a difference in knowing the Heavenly Father wants to hear from me. What a difference in knowing if I come to him in Jesus' name, he's promised to answer. Wow, what a difference. Oh, God does answer prayer. I think probably in every believer's life, there'll be a few times that'll always be outstanding. Maybe it's a prayer for a loved one. Maybe it's one of these like this baby here on the prayer list. And we know that God did it. No other way. But God did it. You ever had that? Sure you have. If you've been saved very long, there's been some times you knew there was no hope and then God came through. Sometimes we're guilty of not praising him enough for that. I can think of a lot of prayers, a lot of ones that are sound actually better probably than the retelling, but I know it had to be God. Oh my. I pastored a country church 3 years before I came here. Great people. Neighborhood, farming neighborhood. I had several stories that come out of that. And I got a call to go 25 miles away to the hospital. They said, "Sister Dobson is dying." I'd visited her in the hospital, but she'd had a turn for the worse, and I jumped in the car and drove 25 miles. They told us on the phone, told my wife on the phone, she's dying now. And the family's there. It was a Catholic hospital, and they had a rule there that they wouldn't let the family in the room until the priest came in and gave the last rites. That was the rule. And so they called. I jumped in my car, and though I drive fast, I have 25 miles, it's 25 miles. So it took some time to get there. And I went down the hall to the room. The family was standing outside. There was a little nurse in there over the bed. I went in to see Sister Dobson, and they had the tubes and the machines and all that, but it was all flat out. And her eyes was open like you fellas that hunt, you ever kill an animal and how the eyes come open and kind of freeze. And Her eyes was like that. No life in them, no twinkle in them, no movement in the body whatsoever. And I walked up to the bed, and the little nurse told me, she was a little Catholic lady, I guess. She said, we like to think that they can still hear you, so you go ahead and give her the last rites. And she was ready for me to do that, as a priest would do. And I tried to explain to her, Sister Dobson was a Christian. She was saved, and anything I could do now couldn't change that. I could see I was talking Greek to her. She didn't understand. I could see that. I knew I had to do something religiously. So I pulled out my New Testament, and I turned it to the 23rd Psalm, or Romans 8, wherever I turned, and I began to read. And the little nurse was happy with that. Folks still outside the door. And bowed my head and prayed, and I found myself saying some very strange words. I rebuked myself. What are you doing? What are you saying that for? But the words were coming out. And the words came out something like this. Dear God, I know Sister Dobson is saved. But even now, if you wanted to leave her here with the family and us, you could. And I thought, why are you saying that? The woman is dead. The nurse knows she's dead. The machine says she's dead. But I prayed, and I was rebuking myself. Why are you saying this? Why are you saying this? And I opened my eyes, and I looked back in her eyes, and I saw something different in those dead eyes. They looked like they changed, like they had a little life in them. And I said again, Dear Lord, if you wanted to, you could raise her up even now. Then I said to Sister Dobson, I said, if it's all right to go on to heaven, right now, or to stay, whichever one, just blink your eyes. I saw a blink. I didn't see the eyelid close, but I saw a twinkle. I saw something. And by that time, the little nurse was letting the family in. They were gathering around the edge of the bed. And I was still looking to Sister Dobson in the face. I thought I saw a twinkle. And so I said again, something to that effect, if it's all right to say goodbye to the family and go on to heaven, just bat your eye or twinkle. I said, bat your eye, I guess. And I saw more life and more movement. And the little old nurse saw it that time. And she said, well, sometimes there's a nerve reaction. She explained it like the world likes to explain it. And to me, that probably was what it was. But I talked to her again, and that time she batted an eye. And the family standing at the bed, they had a skeptic. There's always a skeptic in every family. And there was a guy that was pretty rude. I knew who he was. He started mocking me. That woman's been dead for 25, 30 minutes. I just ignored him. And I asked her again, and she batted her eyes. And I asked her again, and she batted her eyes. And when that nurse took off down the hall, you could hear her feet running all the way down the hall, hauling for the doctor. And the doctor came back in. He was an old gruff feller. Owned a chicken yard close to my church. I hated him for that. It stunk. But all joking aside, he's probably a good doctor. And he come running in the room, and here's what he said. Everybody out, everybody out, everybody out. Well, I started to get out with the family. He grabbed me by the arm and said, you stay. And he got a needle. Now, it wasn't that long, but it was a big one. And he poked that lady in the chest with it. And when he did, that machine went beep and beep and beep. I stayed there probably another 30 minutes, maybe an hour, before I finally left. She never spoke. But she'd follow me with her eyes, and she'd bat her eyes yes or no to my questions. Bat them one time for yes, two times for no, whatever. And all the family was seeing that. When I left that church, that lady was still in that church alive. She was an old lady. But I'll tell you what it did. It was on Wednesday. And yes, our country church had Wednesday night services. When you folks skip Wednesday night, sometimes you don't know what you missed. And no, we didn't have cell phones, but the word went all over that farming community. And that Wednesday night crowd was one of the biggest crowds I ever saw in that building. They came from out of the woods, from the farms. They came in to hear about the lady that came back alive. Now, I'm not claiming that she was dead, but the machine said she was. The doctor said she was. The nurse said she was. But God said she wasn't. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, I've seen some prayers answered. Oh, that's one of the big ones, but I've seen some others. And everybody in here saved can tell. Yes, I know God answers prayer. Oh, this is a wonderful, this is knowledge you can prove by the word of God. I know I'm saved. God paid the price for me. I know that he answers prayer. I tell you some other good news. I know he's coming again. Amen. He's coming back for his. Amen. Oh, folks, if you keep up with the news today, you ought to know Jesus is coming. Even the people that put out the Atomic magazine has moved it up almost to midnight. They see a dead end street for mankind, and all his ingenuity is coming to a dead end. But Jesus is coming back for his. May I ask you a real question? If he came back today, would you be his? Do you belong to him? Have you ever received him? Have you ever confessed him as Lord and Savior? That's your privilege to do so. He made a promise, and he's never broken a promise spoken. And he made you a promise that if you'd come to him, he'd receive you. He'll receive you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can have the peace when you pillow your head tonight that Jesus is my Savior. When I get to heaven's gate, I'll use his name, not mine. It'll be what he did, not what I done, that'll get me into heaven. Trust him all the way. He paid it for you. He paid it for you. Oh, listen, death is highly overrated for the believer. We're just going to step in through a door. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, the scripture says. That's pretty quick. That's quicker than I can walk through that door. I'm going to step into his presence because Jesus is going to usher me in because he shed his blood for my sins. Have you ever received him? You could receive him this minute, this morning, and be a different person and have peace when you pillow your head tonight. Wouldn't you like that? I challenge you, leave the seat, come down the aisle, receive Christ, and he'll receive you. Will you do it this morning? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads and stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we can't walk the aisle for anybody. We can't accept Jesus for anybody. Lord, all we can do is tell them the good news that Jesus saves, and that Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Lord, I pray for the invitation right now. Father, I pray for that one that needs to come trust Christ to get the peace of knowing heaven is their home. I pray for them to step out and receive him today. Jesus said, whosoever confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. That's what the transaction is this morning, Father. And I pray for that man, woman, boy, girl, that needs to step out today and come receive Christ. I pray for that one that ought to move a church membership or come for baptism. But Father, I pray especially for that one that needs to receive Christ and be saved today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.